want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just ask you to help us, Father, to apply these words to our hearts and lives. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to you. God, we just ask that we open your word, that you would again give us wisdom and understanding, help us to apply these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I appreciated the thoughts that were shared about the kingdom and about walking with the Lord. The verse in John that the world will know you by your love one for another. I just appreciate that thought. This is what Jesus said. You know, we have an image or an idea or what we think that we're portraying to the world. An image that, you know, we're just all doing so, just doing great. And we have this image of ourselves that we think when the world looks in upon us, and that's what they see. But in reality, what gets the world's attention is when they see our love one for another. And when we talk about that, we're not talking about, you know, I think we get in our own mind, you know, that we're doing something and we're doing special, and then that guy over there, or our brother or whatever, he just kind of, yeah, he's out there, but, you know, I'm doing good. And so we have this image of ourselves that we're really doing good. But it's not that image of ourselves that the world's going to notice. It's, according to Jesus, their love one for another. And I just want us to think of those things this morning. As we think about the church, you know, whenever we think about the church, most people, sometimes us included, is the building. We go to church. Well, we don't go to church. We are the church. And you don't just go to something that you are. And that's one of the problems we've had, you know, the world has, is people talk about things that they do at church, but then they're completely different when they're at home or they're out in the world. We don't go to church. We are the church. And that's something that we need to wrap our minds around. You know, we're not a denomination. We're not a group. You know, those things are all labeled as churches. There's 20-some thousand different churches. But that's not the church. All those different groups, different names, different titles. The church is the kingdom of God. That's what the church is real. Is that's what the church is, manifest in the flesh. You know, Jesus talked about, you know, we had last week and then the lessons that was given today. The kingdom of God is among us. That's what Jesus said. It's within you. It's in your midst. You know, it's not some mystical thing out there. Heaven is going to be the kingdom of God in a perfect body. But it's going to be made up of people that have had the kingdom of God in this world that will belong in heaven. You know, we all want to go to heaven. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. And so we do all these religious things to try to make us or to try to get us there. But what will belong in heaven are people who belong in heaven. It's people who are born again, converted, whatever you want to call it, transformed into being like Jesus. That will belong with Him. That will be at home with Him. And about the only way that we can display that on this earth is how we work together with each other. The kingdom of God is made up of people. You know, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. I've got it all figured out on my own. I don't need the church. I'm a good person. Heard all of this stuff. So the church is just a building you go to, and they've got part of it right. The church is being a part of the kingdom of God, because that's what the church is in reality. It's the kingdom of God living out a little bit of heaven right here on this earth. Not just on Sunday morning. You know, we go off and the rest of the brethren, we don't have nothing to do with all week. We just can go live off by ourselves and have our own little thing going. The church, the kingdom of God, is something that we're a part of every day. It's a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not just me, not just my family. The kingdom of God, something much bigger than all of that. It's the kingdom, the body of people on this earth. I want to open our Bibles to James. Chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 13 in chapter 3 and just read a few verses here. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." I want to just stop there and think about these things just a minute. You know, I've thought about the mind and our mind and having a sound mind. Or wisdom. I mean, wisdom is basically a sound mind. And I thought about it, you know, in our decision making and our thoughts. And basically, you know, the sin starts right in our mind. It's not our body just compulsively doing something. It's our mind being controlled by something else. That's what freedom that Christ talks about. He came to set us free in our mind. And so in our heart, in our soul, in our body, but it all follows our mind. Our soul. You know, whenever you just think about some of these emotions that we have, And this is the serious thing about these emotions is that's what's controlling us now. It's just the obvious, anger. Can anyone say that you're making a right decision if you're angry? If you're doing something or you're acting out of anger, can you honestly say that that's wise? Can you honestly say that that's the way we should be making our decisions, or that we should be allowing that to control us? Whenever anger takes over, look at what happens. You know, somebody might have done us wrong, and so it makes us mad. And so we begin to think about this, and it begins to grow. And it begins to get bigger. And pretty soon, if we let ourselves, we're just seething with somebody doing us wrong. That's the seed for murder. Because if we follow that long enough, that's where it ends up. And it's done that all through history. Cain rose up. He, whether envy, whatever started all that thought process, that he rose up, he thought his father and God liked what Abel was doing more than he thought about himself. And so that hurt his pride. I mean, that all, and he let that dwell until he rose up and slew his brother. It's happened from the very beginning. So can we really say, you know, that if we're making our decisions in anger, that it'll be a good outcome? Or we speak to one another in anger. That's just selfish. We're not looking out for our brother. And it's not anything that belongs in the kingdom of God. Lust, same way. You know, whenever we allow these emotions, these feelings, these thoughts, we're out of a sound mind. We're not making decisions based on being a part of the kingdom of God, being godly. These things are taking over our mind and we're allowing them to. That's where bondage and slavery comes from. See, that's why it's important to guard our hearts and to be what we're supposed to be. And have these thoughts that are good and right controlling our mind instead of allowing these other things to control us. Greed. We see something and we just are going to go after it. We're going to get it, or we want it. When we allow that to control our minds, we're not in our right mind. There's something else controlling it. Pride. This is a tough one, because we're thinking, you know, whenever we're puffed up and full of ourselves or thinking we've got things going on, we're not in our right mind. We're being controlled and driven by something that's not good and right. It's our own pride. Thinking that we deserve better. Thinking that we've got it under control. We've got things going right. Envy. I mentioned this before. You know, there's a lot of church problems, but the heart of them is envy. You know, somebody just is, they're a little better than I am, you know. They just appear to be a little holier than I am. And envy kind of gives you those thoughts of, well, I'd like to take them down a notch. You know? Well, they're such goody two shoes. Whatever the little saying, the thought there. You just like to see them just fall flat on their face. That's envy. Maybe they've got a position in the church and you wish you had it. So you start scheming and trying to take it away from them. That's envy. That's not in your right mind. And so the actions that you begin to are produced by that are not from a sound mind, a godly mind, a holy mind set on bringing praise and glory to God. It's a corrupt mind. Fear is another one. When we're afraid, it is not time to be making decisions. It's not time to be moving forward. When we're afraid, the only thing we need to be doing is focusing on the Lord and giving Him the place He deserves and us submitting to that. But when we're in fear, we've said it before, you know, you can see it in the political realm in the world. Politicians, if they can make people angry, if they can make them afraid, if they can make them jealous, if they can make them any manner of things, they can control them. You see it all the time. You stir someone up and you get their emotions in control of their life, and guess what? Somebody else is in the reins, driving the car. And it isn't sanity, and it isn't goodness. That's why our goal is to be free from those things. Our hearts and minds, keep them free of those things that bring us into bondage. That's wisdom. That's where wisdom, the very heart and soul of it. People that are controlled by anger or just been done wrong or just whatever. They're feared, they're stressed out, they're scared, whatever it is. They're not in control of themselves. Someone else is in control of them. And this verse mentioned it. It's this wisdom that is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, which is bad enough, natural, not God's nature, but it's natural to humans, demonic. You see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle's not with flesh and blood, but when we give ourselves over, we're letting the devil control us. In any of these things that we've mentioned here, we're giving up control of our lives. Bitterness. You know, somebody's done us wrong, and we're just that it just makes us grouchy. Just makes us unhappy. There's just bitterness. It's not sweetness. It's just ugliness. And unforgiveness. You know, when we will not forgive someone, we are not in our right mind and not a part of the kingdom of God. No matter how much we delude ourselves about them being so wrong. You know, I've seen people that are so right in everything that they do, but so wrong that it's unbelievable. And then I've seen people that are just fluttered along, been wrong all the time, but they're right in their heart and their minds. And I heard a couple yesterday was talking to them, their Catholic family, and they're talking about the only family, only part of their family that had a bunch of children. The only one of them that's Catholic still is the one that doesn't go to church. All the rest of them, and they just kept talking, and pretty soon, you know, he does more Christian things than the rest of them. You know, it's going to be amazing when we stand before God and people we thought were heathens are doing a lot more Christian things than we are. And all the Christian things we thought we were doing have this ugly black spot right in the middle of it. That turns it all sour. The kingdom of God is within us. I'm gonna, verse 16, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. See this in religious people. You know, it's amazing to me that the righter someone is, the harder it is for them to get along. You see movements coming up in the world, even in the political thing, that we got an idea of what the way things should be in government or politically, whatever. And they get head in that direction, and pretty soon they just... Why do the liberals, or what, you know, the progressives, the communists, why do they take over? They got a goal, and they'll lay down their pride and ambition to get their goal ahead. But conservatives in the church, why can't the church just, we get all these right things, and the righter they get, they begin to bite and devour and eat one another alive. Over and over again we see it. Jealousy, self-ambition, which is not godly, and it's not a part of the kingdom of God. It may look it, but it's not. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where all those things and there's just disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, and full of mercy and good fruits. Unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know, that's... But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. We've talked about it before. You know, if we've been forgiven, we ought to be able to look at anybody full of forgiveness. If God has shown mercy on us, our first thought shouldn't be how wrong they're doing. Our first thought is, God showed me mercy. And out of the abundance of what God has given me, I want to give it to everybody. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Gentle, reasonable. We've said it. We are the reflection of God in this world. And if we haven't tasted forgiveness, we can't give it to anybody else. If we haven't tasted mercy, we can't give it to anybody else because we're reflecting what He's given us. There's people that can fake all of that. But there's no reflection there. God, Christ is where it's all at. And when we've tasted that ourselves, we can just be what He's given us. And that's what the kingdom of God is. You know, we can do that with somebody outside. Somebody does us wrong. You know, well, I can turn the other cheek. It don't mean nothing to me, really. It hurt a little bit, but I get a badge. I turn the other cheek, you know. Boy, I'm like Jesus. I was out on the street and we're talking to somebody and they got mad at me. Oh boy, we get so proud of ourselves. But you let somebody close to you try to point something out to you. I mean, we bristle up and the porcupine bristles come out. That's when it means something. That's why the kingdom of God is different. We can put on a show when it's the world, but you let somebody close to you get under your skin, and they're under your skin. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's move over to chapter 4. Verse 6, it says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, well, or do you think that the scripture in verse 5 speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he hath made to dwell in us. God is looking for the Spirit that he's given to us to actually dwell in us. That's where the difference between going to church and being the church. We can go put on a show, but the Spirit that he's given us, he delights whenever it begins to dwell in us. God is not up there looking for everybody who's offended him or done him wrong. God's looking at us through mercy, patience, forgiveness, longing that that would begin to manifest itself in us. You know, all the outward stuff, the reason we do that is because it's supposed to be a reflection of what's inside us. But we can put the outside on and still not have that Spirit that he's given. Boy, I'm just going backwards here. You got to read 5 too. It says, or 6. But he gives a greater grace. Or no. Yeah. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, the person that's, and it's so easy for us to be proud of ourselves. Then it says, verse 7, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit therefore to God. submit, therefore, to God. Yield to Him and His Spirit being in control of your life. The Spirit that He has, that we've talked about, that's how we submit to Him. Is we let those things control our lives instead of these other things. And in verse 8 it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You know, a lot of people think, well, God's far away from me, or I'm... Well, He didn't move. We're as close to God and we're as God-like as we want to be. We are exactly as close to God or as God-like as we want to be. We have these little rooms where we want that God in. Well, that's just setting up a little barrier. You know, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That is a principle. You know, the disciples, when they was with Jesus, there was always a fuss. And we kind of look at that, look at them fighting there. You know what their fight was? Was to see who could be the nearest to Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we kind of look at it as a fuss, but their desire was to be as close to Him as they possibly could. And part of being as close to Him as we possibly could is learning how to get along with everybody that wants to be as close to Him as they possibly can as well. That's where the pride and all the other stuff usually starts going wrong. But if you press on and keep reflecting and you humble yourselves, He'll give you grace. And the proud will be dealt with, just like we talked about. Draw near to God and He will draw in. Well, I just can't. The brethren, they're just so far away. I can't draw. If you're on the outside, or think you're on the outside, it's nobody's fault but yourself. You draw to the heart of the brethren, and you'll be drawn. You know, men react. You know, you, if your wife is building you up and supporting you, and be, it just makes you want to love her more. But, you know, she's tearing you down, griping at you all the time. That's why the bars are full usually, because it isn't too comfortable to go home. They'd just as soon be out running around instead of going home and getting griped at all the time, or grouched at, or somebody else's problem all the time. So they draw away. They don't draw away, they run away. That's the way it works. That's just a natural thing. You want, he that shows himself, he that wants friends must show himself friendly. You start being friendly with people, and guess what? They'll start being friendly to you. You be a jerk to people, and guess what? They'll be a jerk to you. Draw near to God. Draw near to the church. Draw near to brethren, and you'll begin to see things that you didn't see before. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, we think it's God's fault. We think it's the brethren's fault. We got it under control, you know, we got things going. But it's everybody else's fault. So we want to just kind of draw away. Well, I don't like the way they're doing. I don't like the direction they're going. So we draw away a little step. Pretty soon we're out here by ourselves. see, what's it say? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You missed it. You missed it. But boy, we're sure proud of ourselves. You're part of the kingdom of God, or you're not. It's not. The kingdom of God is not an island with you in it, in the middle of it. If you can't learn to live with your brother's faults and his problems on this earth, that's one of the things this couple told me. Well, we're all trying to get to the same place. Well, yeah, maybe. We're all just a different, you know, it's a different flavor. There's one flavor in the kingdom of God, and that's God's Spirit in the kingdom of God. And you and I being a part of it. Nothing more, nothing less. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. May I remind you what Jesus said about as you judge, that's how you will be judged. We're creating our own master, our own judge. We're creating our own judge. We'll stand before the judge on the judgment day that we've created. No mercy? Blessed are the merciful. They shall find mercy. Those that will be forgiven or won't forgive will not find forgiveness. Those without, whatever you put it in there, will not have it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
We, some of us have been taught to put emphasis on that word pure there. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. You get the purity down pat, you get the holiness, you get right. Then you can worry about being gentle, reasonable, and all those other things, but you've got to start out right, and you get messed up there, not realizing, think about purity there, when it says be first pure. What about childlike, innocent, completely good, our desire for somebody else?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thanks.
Good. Praise the Lord.
And here is like openly honest or completely honest with yourself. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. One thing I forgot to mention last week, it's just a little, you know, about the voting and stuff. in history, or in during the World Wars, whenever people were seeking to have not have to go to fight,
the
conscientious objector, to be a conscientious objector, one of the things that they looked at in the record was if they'd ever voted. And if they had voted, they were denied being a conscientious objector because it just didn't add up with them. So that's just one thing I forgot to mention last week. Just thought that was kind of interesting that that's how the government sees things. So anyway,
I just along those lines, my dad, who doesn't, I mean, he's always said, and well, they won't go to war, but they'll sure reap the benefits from everybody who did. I mean, basically, talking about the plane or Mennonite or Amish groups, but basically along the lines, if you're not, if the same idea, you know, if you're gonna get involved in it, you got to be willing to take, you know, you don't just take part of what you like, kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go vote and then not be willing to go the rest of the way with it. It's, you know, either on one side or the other.
All right. Well, anyone else have anything? God bless you all. Depart in peace. And I'll be with you until we meet again.